Witam wszystkich bardzo serdecznie w kolejnym odcinku Becoming a Sustainable Leader. Moją dzisiejszą gościnią jest Magdalena Kubica, która jest Country Lead Poland w HCL Tech w dziale Digital Business. Będziemy rozmawiać po angielsku, dlatego przechodzę na język angielski. Hello Magda, it's really nice to have you here.
Hi Ania, thank you very much for having me. It's really pleasure to be here with you and thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's actually my pleasure. We are here to talk about sustainable business and leadership. So my first question would be, what does it really mean for you? What does it mean for you to be a modern leader?
I think I would like to start from a little story on like sustainable leader. What does it really mean? Because I was thinking, how can I explain it in a simple way so that someone can understand? Because usually the sustainable, this word is used in the context of the environment, but how to use it in the context of leadership and management. So I would like to bring this story where I'm a big sport fan, and for a long period of my life, I have been working out quite significantly. And so I would like to bring this context. I had times in my life where I didn't work out at all because of the work or some other commitments. And I didn't eat well, so everything was spiraling down, I would say. On the other hand, there were some times in my life where I was like really dedicated to gym, and I would work out twice a day and eat real lean, and but I would be very stressed out because I wouldn't go out with my friends because they would be asking me to eat some junk food, for example. So neither of this situation was a good example, because it was from one extreme to another. On one hand, it was like very healthy, and on the other hand, I would have some periods of not being very healthy, let's say, and not following up with a good practices, let's say, of the health. It was not sustainable. Like neither way was sustainable. It means that you cannot really go like this for a long run. You cannot be super fit for a longer period of time, or you cannot be very unhealthy for a long period of time, because either way, it's not good for you. So to find a right balance, it means to be sustainable, to be able to maintain and keep going. But I think important part of the sustainability is that you have to take into account your surroundings. So for example, in this health context, neither of this situation was good for me, because I was neglecting my friends, I was neglecting my family, I was neglecting my body and my mind. And finding the right balance, so finding the sweet spot of being able to maintain this balanced way, let's say, of the health, it would give me a good opportunity to enjoy life with my friends, family, and also with the environment. So I think this context, it's a like digestible way to explain sustainability, because it's just simply a way to keep going, to keep executing something in a good manner with a positive outcome. So I think this can be also translated into business, right? So on one hand, if you are looking into short-term quick wins, it's not good. If you are looking into some huge visions, but very unrealistic, it's not going to be sustainable as well. So you have to find the sweet spot where you can bring value in the economic, in the social and environmental way. So I think this is the sustainable sustainability part. If it comes to the leadership and the modern leadership, well, it evolved over the period of time. On the beginning, long time ago, we had most of the projects were managed. So we had managers, and the managers were assigning tasks and also controlling, not very much focusing on the people. It was not really good, and most of the times these managers, they were let's say putting some pressure on the people as well, and people were fearing the managers, because if something happened, there was no good relationship, let's say, between the managers and the people. And later, this situation evolved into servant leaders. So servant leader is a person who helps, supports the team, and they empower the people so they can work the best to their abilities. But the leader is integrated with the team, so they are not, let's say, seen on the different levels. Of course, the leader, it's it has more responsibility and accountability, but the people are respecting more the leader because it helps them. So I think this would be the modern leadership, how it evolved from the back days to the present times. Of course, it brings more benefit to everyone in the organization, not only from the people perspective, but also from the management and from the client side as well, because the clients are more happy. If the people are happy, it directly translates into the happiness of the client, because they perform better.
Yeah, you're talking about the wellness that I'm guessing we'll get into this in details. But I would like to look back at what you said about the balance and the sweet point to maintain the sustainability throughout your career. So can you tell me about your turning points or moments that you changed yourself and you found the sweet point, the balance in your managing your life?
Well, maybe I will bring 2 points from my life. One was a big turning. Actually, no, maybe we'll explain it in a bit different way. I had a few turning points in my career and in my life, actually, when I was relocating to a different places. So initially, from Poland, I moved to UK. I spent there a few years. After, from UK, I moved to US, again, a few years, and from US, I moved to Poland. So actually, this location, it did have a significant impact on myself. At that time, I was not on a leadership path yet. However, as a future leader at that time, and now I know that it had a significant impact on my perception of the people, different cultures, different nationalities. Also, I was able to learn how to interact with different people simply, and how to approach them. So it benefited me a great way to have this in person and on the spot experience with being able to spend some of my career in different locations. So these were a big turning points for me, because not only on the personal level, I had to set up everything from the ground, but also on the professional level, I got a lot of exposure in particular places which I'm using every day, basically. Second turning point, I think that had a very big impact on my overall in that sense, career. It was growing my self-awareness and personal development. Also understanding my strengths, weaknesses, and my personality traits. I think it was significantly important for my career, because I was able to navigate and decide whether I should do this or something else. So for a long period of time, because I have a technical background, as my first background is engineering, I was sticking to my IT roles, and I did enjoy it for a period of time, but I was missing something, and I was not feeling exactly fulfilled. that's why I was exploring like what else I can do. I always liked to be closer to the business, to have some high level picture of the projects, to have more impact on the decisions. That's why at some point I made the decision that, and it was this turning point, that from the engineering roles and from the IT and even managing the IT side of the projects, I have to move to leadership, to managing projects, programs. So purely move outside of the technical roles to focus more on the business, on the budgets, on planning, and on the leadership. So yeah, these were the two key turning points in my life.
You are saying about the servant leadership model. So do you feel like one of them? How did you develop your awareness, like self-awareness of which kind of leader would you like to be?
Well, I always liked to learn myself. And so in Poland, I studied engineering. Later, when I moved to UK, I studied project management. In US, I studied finance. Later, when I came back to Poland, I studied marketing and some blockchain technologies. Every now and then, I study something new and I expand. I grow. I gained some certificates. So from my perspective, personal development is very important. And I would like to share this with other people as well. So when I have a team, I like to help them out and expand their knowledge, expand their, let's say, skill sets, so they can feel more fulfilled. Because I know how it feels when someone is, let's say, when I was in these IT roles, I wasn't feeling very, let's say, fulfilled for a period of time. So I had to explore. Hence, I would like to help out my teams. Well, I'm not having any teams anymore, but when I was leading a project, so I think this is really important to empower people. So one thing is to give them accountability and the space to work on their own. And on the other hand, to help them to grow in different directions. I think it just came naturally to me because it's something that I want for myself. Hence, I want this for other people as well.
Yeah, it sometimes comes just for the self-consciousness, as you said, that you know what you need, and this is something that you support your team with. So how would you, because as you said before, the role of a leader changed a lot. So how would you define the role of the leader in the team? Because some says it's just like a conductor. It's not like a manager that just manages. There's so many aspects of the team to manage right now, like emotions. So what would you say? What's the role of a leader in a team?
Yeah, definitely. So this is the difference and the evolution from the pure managers to servant leaders. So like I mentioned, the manager was often feared by the team. And I think there is one key element that a lot of people forget about. The team is executing their tasks, let's say, in a continuous way. So it means that if the manager or the leader is not looking, they are still doing their job, right? So if there is no trust between the people and the leader or the manager, the people will not exactly perform to their best. And in the case of the managers, and the people who are fearing the managers, the manager has to control like so frequently because there is this lack of trust. So he doesn't know if they do the tasks that they should do, right? With the leader, it's a bit different because the leader is helping the team, it's supporting them, empowers them. So in fact, the leader is moving to the shadows a bit, so that the team can perform, and he only shows up at some points of time when he's needed. For example, if some support is required, if some issues arise and some additional help is needed. So I think these are some of the key elements that can bring up the best from the team. The trust, this is definitely one thing. And the leader is the supporter. It's the supporter, it's not the one who, let's say, conducts everything, because he's not the expert in the area. There are other people who are the experts, so he needs to trust them, empowers them, and let them do their job. I think important part in the team is, and it's a responsibility of the leader as well, it's to listen. So first thing is just to listen and, let's say, speak the last, because he needs to hear the voice of the people. He needs to make the team feel like they are heard, because people want to speak up. And they can give him some insight on the situation. And also, well, this brings that the communication is really the key. And the leader should show a vision so that everyone is on the same page, because people don't want to be in a limbo, for example. They like to know like what they're working for and what is the aim goal. So communication would be important. And of course, one more thing is, well, the leader should show by example. So the actions speaks louder than words, right? If a manager or leader would be standing in the back and not taking any action, it's just not a good example for the team. He has to be upfront with the action, and he has to take responsibility and accountability for the entire project while the team is performing. So I think this is important. And of course, bringing the best from the people. So listening to the people, helping them out to grow, and resolving their issues.
So much work. It sounds like this perfect leader has so much has a vision, and then responsibility, and then empathy to listen to the people, and then of course all the building the structures and you know, going for KPIs. So how would you say what tools do the leader need to provide all those things that you are talking about?
Yeah, I think yes, I have a few tools I want to bring up. So definitely one is the passion. So the passion is the inner drive. The leader needs to have the energy, because if the energy will be low, like, no one is going to follow him, right? And energy, it's something that is contagious. So if you have high energy, there is a good energy in the team and good flow. And being positive, I think it cannot be really overrated, because within a team and the group of people, there is an interaction. So if someone has a bad energy, of course, it's going to impact the other people. And the leader should be the first person with the positive attitude and having a vision that things can be done, even if it's hard, for example. Having the positive approach, it would be the key. Principles is one of the elements and the tools. The leader should be genuine and authentic, and with some integrity as well. So this is linked to the fact that taking the action is important instead of the words. One of the elements would be being pragmatic as well, because if you are only a visioner, okay, it's great to have a vision and to show it to the team, but then if you are not organized, if you don't have a system, if you don't have a structure, you cannot really perform the tasks. So being pragmatic and doing tasks one after another, this would be important instead of being a, let's say, daydreamer. Patience is another one. So nothing happens over over a week, for example, or over one day. So having this vision, having the empathy, having the persistence, and giving this positive approach and vision to people, it's important. Another one is the transparency. This is linked to the communication and sharing the vision and the steps with the team. Well, empowering the people. This is another one. So I think a few tools can be implemented. And overall, I think there are two key ones, right? So one is the vision and one is being executor. So it has to be combined.
Yeah. And do you think everyone can do it? Everyone can be a leader? It's actually one of my favorite questions. Is it that, what's your opinion? Is it that you are born leader and you just develop your skills during your lifetime and experience? Or it's something, being a good, modern, sustainable leader, something that you can really just, learn?
I think, I was reading some books around that subject, and the perception on that has changed over the years. So people thought about the leaders are only born. But then the new school, let's say, or the new theory says that the leaders are not really born, that the leader has some toolbox of skills that can be learned along the way. And I think I'm more agreeing to the second approach, where a leader it's not born really, because it's more linked to the personality traits. But sometimes you don't discover it on the very beginning. It just depends. Like, I didn't discover that I wanted to be a leader till later on in my life, let's say. I always thought that I'm going to be a very technical and very specializing person. But actually, my personality traits were showing something different. And I only discovered that through doing some tests. So I think, answering to your question, definitely it can be learned. But there is some predisposition of different people. Some people are more, let's say, skilled in languages, some are more on the mathematics side. So of course, this is going to help them in some of the areas of developing the skills. But I think everything can be learned. It's a matter of how much effort we're going to put into it, and how much do we want it.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a case of circumstances, that you are just in the situation, that you have to find yourself as a leader. And this is the moment that you need to just take responsibility, and then somehow you know if you are a leader or if you are ready to be a leader.
So yeah. Actually, I'm going to comment on this, because I think it's an interesting that you brought it up. I have this example where, for example, some technical people, they were put in a position of they had to lead the project, and some of it did embrace and some fall out. So it definitely depends on the personality. But I think one more point I wanted to make, and you kind of guided me to make this point, is important is the organization where you are, because not every organization will support you in achieving the goals that you want. I had this experience in the past, so I think it is really important to be aware and stand up for yourself to be able to do what you want instead of where someone is putting you. So I think the place of the organization, and actually here the HCL, it's a really good place, because I got a lot of support and a lot of guidance, let's say, in my new role as well. So definitely the organization cannot be overrated, and the focus on the people.
Yeah, I think you mentioned just not an organization, but the culture of organization, which is the most important thing that actually affects your mentality throughout your career. So What would you say, how do you, as a leader, what's your influence of building culture of organization?
Well, in the culture, we have to educate the people, really. And this is a very big task because, of course, the culture has to come from the bottom up. So it comes from the people. You have to spend a lot of time with people. The organization will come up with some framework, let's say, but later on the implementation is on the ground. So a lot of work with people. And I think here it's, I'm in a very good position as a country lead because I have an impact on what is happening in the Polish market. And I'm able to connect with the teams and observe, collect some feedback on the team happiness as well and how the people are, let's say, performing, but also how happy they are and take some actions. So I think collecting the feedback from the people, it helps as well in creating the culture and in improving the state where we are.
So how do you measure the quality of the culture? Because there's so much talking about the wellness of people, and you mentioned it also, that the well-being of your career, of your workplace actually affects how you develop the skills and how you bring up the effects. So what do you think about that? Is it important, the well-being of your employees?
No, definitely. The employees are the heart of the company, because if the employees are not happy, they will not perform well. Hence, the customers are not going to be happy as well. We are in a customer services organization. So I assemble teams and we place them for our customers. So we really take care of our people in terms of the well-being and in terms of the growth of the professional skills. So I think that there are two elements. One is the learning and the growth. So we have chapters and each of the people with the specific skill set, they are assembled to the chapters and they can grow their skills. And on the other hand, we have a lot of social events that bring people together. So for example, we have the company takes part in, for example, business run. So this assembles the people together, gives them the feeling of the belonging and some common aim. And also they have fun together. And we support different initiatives. And for example, food bank, or in case of the Ukraine war, we supported the job market to hire some people as well. So we try to bring the social aspect as well to our people, to make them feel connected to the company, to the culture, and of course we have to take care of their personal growth. Recently, we had some brand transformation event, and we brought our employees as well to celebrate together. It was a great opportunity to meet the people on the ground and celebrate, especially after the pandemic times, because, you know, the social events were ceased for a period of time. So we want to bring more of this kind of an event now when the markets opened up and we are free again to have some events inside of the company. Definitely it helps out to build the culture as well.
Yeah, socializing is one of the three parts, very important if in building the organization well-being. Also, I think that the within the culture of organization, it's really important the mission. And what do you think, what it should be done, not to be the mission, just the sentence, you know, just hanging somewhere on the wall in the chef room?
Well, the mission has to be Well, of course, it has to be sustainable, right? So we have to look from different angles. And I think the mission, it's something that is an anchor, that where you look on the company, you just look on the mission and you know, like, okay, what do they do and what is the aim for each group, for example. So for the customers, what is it there for them? For the employees, what is it there for them? So for each of the groups that interact together, what's the added value? For the employees, it has to be environment which supports them, which fosters creativity and being ideapreneurship, because this is something that HCL is very proud of, to have skillful people, because we are a consulting company. So this is definitely important in a mission to be transparent what we want to achieve. And then there has to be element of the authenticity and also empathy for our customers. So on one hand, we need to have empathy for our people, and on the other hand, for the customers as well, to bring the best value. But it's important not only to look from the economic side, but also from the social and from the environment. Now, with this carbon, zero carbon targets that everyone has across Europe and the world, we have to take care of that as well in every project.
Yeah, it's really well said that the mission has to be sustainable. So it has to take under consideration the benefits of each participant of the mission. So it's really, I like the idea of that. What about this, because we are talking a lot about this kind of soft skills, not like KPIs, which are measurable, something which is happiness, which is not so easy to measure. So how would you say there are two things very important, like engagement and motivation, and also emotions, which kind of stand up right now, the leadership position that people are start talking about that. So how to manage engagement, motivation, and emotion?
Actually, I'm going to respond first to the team happiness KPIs, because it's something that actually we were able to measure within our teams. And I think it was a good response, and it was in a quantitative way as well. So we had some questionnaires that we shared with our people that were related to the project, they were related to interaction with the client, to interaction inside of the company as well. And so we had a positive feedback, and we were able to, let's say, group it in a specific ways and get some quantifiable metrics from, let's say, very funny, or, you know, something that is cannot be really measured as the team happiness. Actually, we managed to do it through the questionnaire. So I think it was a positive, and it was a good practice. And it's something that that actually we are using, because we need to take care of the team, not only for the project perspective, but also from the team as well. If you are talking about the emotions, we have not only the skills chapters, but also we have practices and multiple lectures and events. Most of the time, these are online events regarding mindfulness, regarding inspiration. There is one which is called Fem Inspiration. So it's only for women to find inspiration. We bring leaders, women from different companies to speak in an empowerment way as well. So in HCL, we have quite a few initiatives which are social, and they take care of, let's say, mental way of our people. We have some yoga classes as well, which are online. And I think there is more, like Pilates. I have not attended that, but I've seen that we have quite a few, and they are popular with the teams. So, definitely being able to do something else outside of work and connect people, it's important. So what, how else we take care of the emotional side? We have one-on-one meetings with the managers where the employee can speak up. This is more in a, you know, it's like a semi-formal, let's say, because it's like a weekly catch-ups. They can speak up, they can say about their current stuff, about where they want to go, and they can just simply chat as well. So we have some parts which are formal, some are informal, and supporting the mental health as well.
Yeah, you're kind of mentioning building a relationships, and some experts of leadership, the modern leadership, says that the building the relationships are the most important part of being a leader and leading people. So what do you think about that? Is it even possible to really build a relationship with every of your employee? Is it worth it?
I think I will start from the statement that building relationship is definitely a key. And we have to build a relationship not only with our people, but with the outside as well, with the clients, with the partners. So it's like with the communication. Part of the communication is building the relationship. And I think it is really important to, it's like the relationship and the alliances. To build the alliances, it means that someone is on your side if it's needed. Let's say you can count on them, that they can support you. Of course, it's not possible to be on the best terms with everyone. It depends on the personality. But I think a good leader, it's a person who is able to read people. So to read different personality types, I think this is part of the self-development. So the leader needs to be self-aware of their strengths and weaknesses and also their personality traits, but also aware on how to interact with different personality styles. So I think this is one of the skills that is needed by the leader, because you have to interact with different people. You will not always find the people who are, let's say, the best fit for you. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, from the diversity and inclusion perspective, as they say, as many perspective and different ideas, opinion, and people, the most, the more effective the team is. So you can't really have people that just start as you are, because then there will be no so differences and not so many opinion. So coming to the essence of sustainable leader, and actually to the beginning of our conversation, when you said that this personal development and self-awareness is the key to be a good leader, I would like to ask, what do you think are the three most important features of a modern leader?
Well, it's the listen and speak last. So that's what I mentioned already, and the communication style and approach to people. So the communication, it is far the most important in a leader. Being transparent and support the people and support the people and empower them to do their job and be the best supporter. And let's say the best supporter, and I think the last one is the accountability. So you have to be the leader in the background, let the people work and do their job because they are experts in the area. You just help them, you guide them, but well, you have to take accountability, but you don't disturb them much, because a good leader should be a little bit in the shadow.
Because lose control, which is not so easy for most of the leaders nowadays. What about habits? What do you think are the habits that are necessary to practice this sustainable leadership?
Habits. Well, learning. I'm going to continue repeating the same stuff, but I think learning and growing and staying curious. Thinking strategically and tactically. So on one hand, being tactical, But being tactical is just one of the steps, right? In a picture, on the way for something bigger. So having this way of thinking between tactical and strategic. Elevating people, I think this is a good habit of a leader. So you have to lift them up. Of course, people will have good or bad days, but even if they have a bad day, try to help them out and elevate their spirits so they are feeling supported. And I think this is linked to the empathy. The leader needs to be a real empath, but of course, grounded and reasonable. And this is linked to the emotional intelligence as well, which is reading people's emotions, helping them out. I think being a kind person as a leader, this is puts us a far away, because you never know what the people are going through. So always be supportive in any way. I think in the industry it's really hard, because there is it's always some dose of stress, but being composed and in these situations to try to calm and just elevate people, it is one of the traits that a good leader should have.
These are perfect habits for leading by example, because I think if you're kind and empathetic, it's if you're leading by example and people just copy you, and you know, just this is how you at the end build the culture of the organization, right? Yeah. What about the most common mistake or some kind of weakness that leaders has?
Well, I think this is not understanding the role, really, because trying to work in the old school of the manager style, where you just assign the task and control people instead of helping them out. So I think misunderstanding, and this is still happening in organizations, especially if there is some mature organizations and they don't want to transform the way of thinking. They say that, okay, we work in the new model, but it's not really the new model, it's the old one. So I think a lot of issues come from this. And of course, this is linked to lack of education. So education overall, and it should come from the top to the bottom, because the leadership teams, and they should be or the chairmans, even higher up, they're the first who should be aware of the need for the transformation, for example, and later it goes to the bottom. But the people needs to be educated as well. And this is sometimes hard, because in old-fashioned, let's say, organizations, they don't want to change. So this brings this vicious circle when someone thinks that, okay, we are in a new organization, but it's not really new, it's the old one. There is a problem with having the old habits.
Yeah, and it's a problem of using new tools, but not changing the mindset.
Yes.
And if the mindset is old, you can't really change everything else. What about exercise or practice that tests the quality of your leadership?
Well, we do have something which is called 360 reviews. So it's not only for the employees, but also for the managers as well. So I think it's really good tool where the teams can give a feedback on the leaders as well, on the quality of the leadership. And of course, there can be some constructive criticism, but it depends how you approach it. So you can approach it as learning and growing, or you know, if it's taken in the wrong way, it's not going to be anything positive. But definitely 360 reviews, it's an added value for our leaders to get the feedback from the team. What practices? The KPIs, so about the happiness index I already mentioned. Good practice, it's when something can be reusable. So overall, anything that we can take, for example, if we organize some conferences or some events, or we take part in any kind of activity, we do lesson learned. So it's a good practice from the Agile. It doesn't apply only to regular IT projects, but it can apply to anything. For example, if you organize a conference, you know, how did the conference go? What are the positive actions? What are the negative actions? What can be done better next time? So this retrospective and lesson learned are common tools that we use as well.
It's like learning by experience. But what about education? Yes. Do you see any areas that really needs to be supported in education of the leaders?
Learning by learning by example or learning through practice, it's the best. So I'm a big fan of upskilling, right? And you can do it in a number of ways. And I always say that university education is not enough because it was sufficiently long enough that things has changed. So you have to grow and expand constantly. There is a lot of certificates. There is a lot of schools, online courses, conferences that are organized and people can grow their skills. So definitely the constant learning, it's important. Also, inside of the company, we have we have our own platforms that support learning, and we have our own programs. So, for example, a program for leadership. Last year, there was one program that I attended. It was taking like 3 months. It was really valuable set of practices, and also supported by platforms and experienced colleagues. So I think it's always valuable to get some insight from people who already did it, who walked the path. So it's a little bit linked to like mentorship as well. So finding the people who walk the path, you can ask them the questions. So it's like, for example, I always say, if you want to learn skiing or something, get a trainer or the instructor. He's going to teach you way faster than if you have to discover it on your own. But if you want to learn swimming, do the same. So it's like with the leadership, if you find someone who achieved something where you want to aim at, of course there are some unknown charted areas, but most of the things has been already done. We are not discovering rocket science here, but we, if you want to grow and expand the path, there is a high chance that someone has already done it.
Learn from the best and the one that you admire. What about yourself? Because we are talking a lot about this self-consciousness and awareness as a leader. So what do you think, what are the best ways to take care of yourself as a leader?
Well, growing and the self-awareness. So again, going back to discover more of the traits of your personality. A few years back when I did this Gallup test, I was a bit shocked because I always thought that I'm more analytical, and it showed up I'm more on the way to inspire people. So it was a bit shocking for me at the time, but it does really make sense because I'm more happy to work with, to be closer with the people. How I take care of myself? Well, I read a lot. I listen to a number of books. Actually, this is my preferred way now. Instead of reading, I switched to listening books. Podcasts maybe a bit less, but listening to the books is my favorite. Well, I go to different conferences. And even though that I moved away from technology, I still grow my skills within technology as well. So and especially modern technologies. Recently, I passed another certificate in the blockchain, so it's like one of the modern technologies that, well, it's good for me to know. For example, let me explain it like this. So I'm not only taking care of the leadership part, but I think, and let's say the psychology, but also I think a good leader needs to know about the discipline where they stay at. So for example, if they're in finance, they should have the domain knowledge in finance. If they're in something else, they should have the domain knowledge in that particular thing as well. And especially that this technology and everything is changing so fast, I don't think we have much choice.
If you have to, if you want to be updated and modern, you have to, of course, have eyes open and read whatever is coming up in the discipline that you are interested in, of course. And you mentioned the books that you are listening. Can you mention some of the books that really influenced your leadership?
I have a few books that actually I read them quite a while ago, and I think it did impact the overall, because leadership is very wide, right? So there is this old book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. I think it's like a classic now, and it says about how to interact with different kinds of people and how to make them like you, how to make them be on your side. Another one is Atomic Habits. It's not really linked to the, let's say, leadership, but one of the features of the leader, I think it should be ability to execute, right? And to be persistent. So Atomic Habits talks about the compounding effect of even executing the small tasks and how important and big effect it can have. I really like this story and the biography and many books from Richard Branson. He is the entrepreneur and the owner of the Virgin, now I think Virgin Galactic as well. It's very inspiring. He's a really inspiring leader and a little bit adventurous as well, because he has some interesting stories. But if it comes to inspiration, I think his story is a really good one. And he says, like, just to do things that you want to do and not to wait. One more that I wanted to bring, and actually is closer to the leadership, it's 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. So this is really some core stuff about the leadership, and it talks about how the attitude is contagious. So this is the energy that the leader should have, there cannot be any improvement without the change, and that it's the best if the leader is respected, because then the people follow him. So it has some really good insights and like core stuff, which can be as a good trait of a leader.
It's amazing that all those books, and actually I think that most of what you said is about managing yourself as a leader. And I guess that from our conversation, I can bring up that if you can manage yourself with your awareness and consciousness and empathy and emotions and everything that we said, you can also manage others and be a good, sustainable leader. Thank you, Magda, very much for your conversation.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.